If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, my friends. All right. Today I'm going to tell you a story that I think would be very interesting. It could be a story that's a comedy bit, but a great comedian has already done a bit about it. But it goes along with what's going on in my life. So as you know, I do Jeff Lewis show once a week. And he's doing these dinners and people pay him to have dinner with him, and it's amazing. And I've, you know, this has been happening for a while. I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I've definitely heard of people wanting to do this with different celebrities. My old manager had a very big actress, and she actually turned down a lot of them because she was like, I don't want to be, you know, I didn't want to do that. And they were fucking good money. But I guess if you're a woman, you might get a creep or whatever. I have a story about this, and it applies to this, so I thought, okay, I can share it. So I'm doing comedy in the Laugh Factory 2017, maybe 2018. I go, I do my show. Afterwards, I'm doing some merch, and some guy comes up to me as a dentist, and he's like, hey, I like you. How much would you like to have dinner with me? He had an accent. I'm not sure where. So I'm giving him a random accent. And I said, what? Because he at the Laugh Factory, at the Late Show, there'll be maybe 66 people, 68 people. And if it goes late, you know, 10:30, you're out there midnight, 12:05, which is still early. But in Vegas, on like a Wednesday night, it's funny who you'll run into, right? That's why I love that. That's why I just love Vegas. And I love that part of the strip. He gives me his card and he's like, I'd like to have some dinner with you to come over and I'll pay you for your time. I don't know where he was from. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so I do my run for the week or whatever and I'm done. I'm in Vegas at the time and I'm doing a lot of comedy. And I also, this is going to take me sad about my parents because this is when my parents were sick. And I was doing trying to get into the weed deal. And I had a weed deal that I was trying to do. And I don't want to say anything disparaging because I don't want to get, you know, I don't know what I can say. But the person was not fucking honest who I was dealing with. And I thought they were. And they ended up just fucking the whole deal up. But I was putting in money, and so I was going to Vegas at least once a week to try and do this weed deal, cultivation, when the gold rush was happening, because I, you know, I was really interested. And so I would do shows, and so I'm there. And then at the end of my run for the week, I was like, call this guy. So I had someone call this guy. I think it was the person who was doing the, I was doing the weed deal with, and she was like, yeah, the guy's legit. He wants to take you, he wants you to have dinner with him, and I'll give you $5,000 in cash. And I was like, really? And I'm like, when? And she's like, Tuesday night. So I'm like, okay, I like Vegas. You don't have to twist my arm. I'll stay an extra day and I'll just chill. And I think I went to the spa on Monday and I said, I'll stay for Tuesday and have a meal. And he's like, yeah, he'll take you anywhere you want to go. And blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay. I'm like, well, you got to come with me. Because I do like the person I was doing the weed deal with. I just think that they fucked my shit up. So I'm going to talk about them in this story, even though I don't really like them right now. But, like, I like them. Because I did like them. And I was like, okay, you come with me. I said, I'll have my manager come with me. And I said, I want a bodyguard. So she said, okay, I know a UFC guy who's a fighter. And I'll have him be your bodyguard. And you can pay him a couple bucks. And I said, okay. Now, this is a crazy story, so I'm going to try to get all the details out. So she called the guy back. And the guy says, sure, I'll pay for the bodyguard. I'll pay for the manager. I'll pay for you. You can all come. And it's going to be me, I think my wife, and maybe another friend. So I was like, okay. So I end up going to this guy's house. He lives in some place in Vegas in a gated community in an absolute palace. A fucking palace. Incredible. And I don't want it to say too much, but he made a lot of money in dentistry. And these are the real people that have a lot of money. People like that. People who do veneers or people who deal in like cotton swabs or, you know, or Velcro. I always find that those are the realest, richest people. Paper clips. And so this guy has a house on a fucking mountain. And I mean, you had to go through this gate. And I used to have a house in Vegas. And I had a gated community. But his gate, he went up and then up. And then he had to go. And he was so in the gate. He was so far to get to his community. Then through the gate. So far within it. And then when he got there, his house was on a hill. And it was so far. Like, you could not fucking get to this guy. And he had an absolute banger of a palace. Like, everything huge. Pool parties. Fucking big screens, just a wine cellar out the wazoo, racquetball court, like you name it. This dude had it, and he made a couple hundred million in the dental business. I don't know how, but I believe him. He's like a nice, sweet, nerdy guy who wants to meet celebrities. So, you know, the old adage everybody is celebrities, you think celebrities are rich. They are compared to the normal person, but they're not, okay? Like, that's why Silicon Valley wants to be cool, so that's why they buy into Hollywood. And what is Hollywood? Hollywood wants their money, because $100 million in Hollywood is a wart on a technological fucking lord's dick, okay? So as much as people and friends make, you know, $150 million, it's just, it's a lot of money, you know? Or people who have 10 million, you know, I'm not saying who. It's a wart on their dick. So I always find that people that have these different corners of life cornered have a lot of money. And so they actually respect Hollywood, some of them, but they also think they can buy Hollywood. And that's when it's disrespectful. But this guy had a real appreciation for Hollywood and comedy. He came to my show. It wasn't busy. He's like, you are funny. The crowd was weird, but you were funny. I don't know. I'm giving that accent again. I don't know where he was from. And he goes, I think you're crazy and I like you. So anyway, go to his house. It had to be 2017 because I was drinking. Big ass fucking duck horn. You know what duck horn is? We're drinking Duckhorn. We're drinking Camus. And it's me, him, my manager, my business partner. I'm not in business with any of these people anymore. UFC guy who was great. And we're all getting really toasty, which is crazy. I think the UFC guy was drinking, which I'm like, dude, you got to protect me. But the guy seemed pretty harmless. His wife. And it's just, we're just, you know, chilling by the pool. And he says, we'll drink for a little while and then we'll go out. So I was like, okay. So he says, at the end of the night, they'll give you $5,000. And I said, okay. And he then took a shot at me in a funny way. He's like, I know. He goes, is that a good rate? And I said, yeah, I think that's fair. And he goes, I thought it was fair as well. I look at you and I see this is a guy that I want a few hours of his time, that he's a $5,000 guy. This is what I want. And then he named some other comedian. Let's just say, I don't know. Let's just say he named, like, who can I think of? He named another celebrity. He's like, that celebrity is going to be $10,000. They will not go between, I don't know. I think he talked like this. They will not go below $10,000. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's a good call. And he's like, Magic Johnson, I've been trying to get him for years. He's a $500,000. In my mind, the amount of time I want to spend is $500,000. And I said, yeah, that sounds about right. And I think he said 50 cent, and he said, like, 50 cent would be $250,000. Like, he was naming all these numbers of celebrities, and he was like, I see you as a $5,000 guy. You can grow, but right now, you're about, I look at you, the way you're dressed, the way you talk about, the way you are in life, you don't have a lot of responsibilities, you're about $5,000. And I said, you're about right, because it's a fair rate to get $5,000 to sit and eat with a guy who takes care of everything. It's a very fair rate. You know what I mean? Like, there's a joke that one of my agents has, my con agent, and they asked, I'm not going to name names of some of his biggest clients, and they said, you know, would they do it for $5,000? And my agent, and this is, I'm not going to name names. He's like, they don't fucking cross the street for $5,000. And he's like, you want Jamie? So I am a good starter at $5,000. By the way, $5,000 is fair. I mean, who doesn't like $5,000, right? Anyone would like $5,000. Now, if you're at home going, you fucking at least. I'm not. I work my balls off, and this is just a random thing. I've gotten to that place, but this is my life. So $5,000 might be a lot to you, or you know, it's a hand of blackjack for someone else. I mean, it's so, but it is a fair rate for me. Like, I actually told you this in my other pod. I'm about a $10,000 a day actor when I'm working in terms of the time and everything. And because I'm a $10,000 a day employee between comedy shows and different things. If you prorate me, I can show you in different things in my life when I spend my time. I'm about a $1,500 an hour entertainer. That's the truth. That's kind of what I get paid throughout my different careers. And with time and travel, I did this whole chart. So the guy saying this stuff to me, and I wasn't being offended. I was liking it. I was like, I'm chilling in his place, drinking amazing wine. He's a good dude from somewhere over and somewhere, I don't know, Middle East, India, I'm not sure. I know that sounds terrible, but I couldn't really pin him. Great guy. And he goes, I have a friend that would like to come over. I have a friend. I don't know where he was from. Stay with me on the sax. And he goes, he likes you, and he would like to join us for dinner. And I go, come on, dude. I don't want any fucking weirdos. And I'm like, I forget the UFC guy's name. Let's call him Willie. I'm like, Willie, fucking. He's like, come on, dude. He's like, we don't want no weirdos. He's not weird. He's very cool. And he wants to join us. The wife goes, he's very cool. And I was like, okay. And so the wife, so I'm like, who's in the crew? He's like, your guy, your bodyguard, your weed dealer, my wife and me, my cousin Toko, and my friend. So I was like, okay. So it's like eight of us. And so he goes, we're going to go to Lowry's. I love the prime rib. So it was somewhere in one of those developments off the strip, and I love Lowry's. But I'm like, dude, it's already 9:30. They close at 10. He goes, not for me. They stay open. They stay open. So this dude booked Lowry's for us to get there at like 11. 11 out of Lowry's. That's baller. Like, you don't understand. Lowry's closes at 10. And he fucking got a Lowry's to fucking stay open. So I'm like, this is wild, right? I'm like, who's, You know, he's like, well, they're going to like you and they're going to like to see my friend. So I'm sitting there, we're drinking some more, I'm two glasses and I'm feeling good. You know, I usually do two before when I was drinking, you know, two before dinner, two during dinner, two after dinner. You could do a bottle and a half easily. And if it's Vegas, pop a half a perk. Now, that's not drugs or anything. That's just fun. Like, then you stay up all night and have fun and get in weird conversations and whatnot. So we're there. We're at the place and it's ding dong. But he's like, my friend is here. My friend is here. And sure enough, we're in the pool. A dude comes in and all I hear is, hey, I hear, hey, man. Oh, how can I do it? Hey, how are you? What's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, I have to get the accent down. And I look and he goes, this is Jamie, this is my friend OJ. And it's OJ Simpson. And I was like, and my weed chick was like, and UFC was like, OJ! And my manager's like, oh, shit. So it was like, and now the girl, he's like, hey, Lila, what's up? Whatever. He knew everybody. And I had heard this about OJ since when everything went down, that he was hanging around with rich people and playing golf. And if he got kicked out of one community, he was went to Florida, went to another community or whatever. I don't know. And so it's OJ. And it had to be when he got out of jail. Now, I know I could do 4 hours on OJ. So I'll probably do a little bit now. But there's just so much history I know or I feel OJ adjacent. Like, and so, let me give you a little backstory. So, when I was just breaking through into Hollywood, first of all, we all knew OJ. He was the most lovable guy. He was a legendary athlete before I met him, before I really knew who he was, but I knew who he was. I knew him more from Hertz, and he was that clean cut guy. And I knew him from, you know, all the airplane movies and guest stars and different things. And then when I moved to LA, you know, OJ had a big spot in Bel Air and he had another spot on Rockingham or whatever. And you had just heard of it. You had heard of it, like the Century Club, OJ was there, or different places you had heard. Like if you went to the Playboy Mansion, which I wasn't going to yet, OJ was a fixture of the LA community. Now, this is before I popped off, so I had just heard his name at different restaurants. Not that I was trying to get a busboy job at. Like I was dead broke, right? We weren't in the same circles, we were in the same town. So OJ was a fixture of the community. And I know this because in my acting class, one of the guys was like a waiter or a bar back at Mezzaluna. And Mezzaluna was like the spot on the west side. If you could get just a job being a fucking bread runner, you were going to make $150 a day. Like Mezzaluna in the early 90s. And I had known this, and that's when you had heard, you know, of the circles and stuff of the different people that went there. Now we know everybody, but at the time no one knew who Chris Kardashian was or Faye Resnick or all this stuff. So I just remember that was my history of OJ, like you, like everyone else, and then Mezzaluna as a struggling actor. That was a spot. And you did hear that Mezzaluna was also a spot where people would pick up some drugs. I'm sorry to say that. You did hear that. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that was, and I'm a broke actor, trying to be. I'm not an actor. I'm not like everyone. I'm a Dan Pouston. Dan, shout out Dan. Look up Dan Pouston. I'm where he was, but I wasn't as muscular and didn't have the mustache. But I was like a guy living in a fucking one room. And like, I couldn't even get those jobs. Guys like Dan Pouston would get those jobs. So I was like this crazy open mic comic taking some acting workshops. But I had worked in scene studies with different people that knew the certain restaurants that if you worked at, you could make $200 a day. In the early 90s, and rent was only $500. So you work a couple of weeks, you get your month's rent, and the rest of the time trying to grind for auditions. So at this time, so I go, and, you know, we wake up in the morning like everyone does in the history of OJ, and you know, it's a fucking horrific scene, and the murder, and the blood, and the gore. It's like equivalent to Charles Manson. You know what I'm saying? It's 25 years since Helter Skelter. I just turned 24 and it was just horrific, you know, just horrific. And it was like, OJ, what the fuck? Everyone's like, OJ, no way, OJ. So it was wild, as you know. So at the time, I had just auditioned for SNL. I didn't get it. I had a deal at Universal that went nowhere. And I had a small holding deal with MTV. And the woman who was high up at MTV on the alternative comedy side by the name of Lisa Berger. Shout out, Lisa. I owe her a lot. At the time, you couldn't be everywhere. So at the time, she was kind of annoyed that I was on SNL, trying to get on SNL and trying to do a Universal deal. And I'm like, I just need to make money. But so she gave me a small lifeline of $15,000 to come up with a tape to do a show for MTV. And we used to have meetings at her house, and she's a LA native, and I don't want to say where her family lives, but they live in a very nice place, and she's an executive who eventually went on to become the president of E. She's the reason the Kardashians went on television, and at the time she was a young executive, and I went to Mark Cronin's wedding, I believe, and it was me, her, New York, and Daisy from Rock of Love, and we all had the best night hanging at Mark Cronin's wedding, drinking, doing shots, smoking cigars. Amazing night. That's another story. And so I believe that she went high up in MTV, got the job at E, became the president of E. And I want to say that she also had a huge job at either Oprah or Bravo, but she's a legend, right? And she believed in young talent. When I was there, she gave deals to like four people. Myself, Harlan Williams, Jim Brewer, Dave Chappelle, I'm pretty sure. Chappelle had deals all over town because everybody wanted him because he's a phenom. But we all were coming up in our own. But I believe those were, and I think Jay Moore, I think those five of us had deals. And she would go to the clubs and saw and look for talent. Anyway, that's a lot of backstory to tell you about this because it's interesting, I thought. So I'm at her house. I have nothing going on. I just blew my SNL audition. I just blew my Universal. I had gotten a commercial with Vans, so I was going to make a little money there. And she's like, let's figure out this presentation pilot. And we're at her house going through ideas. I had ideas, and I was running a buyer. She had a beautiful crib. And sure enough, she's like, oh, my God, you've seen this on TV. So the OJ stuff happened a few days ago, and now it's on the TV. It's the Bronco. It's a cultural seismic event. We all are seeing it, and we're watching it. We're just, like, trying to go back, and, oh, my God, this is so weird. And okay, so in the first part of the series, here's how it'll be, and here's the characters, and, oh, my God, and then second. And we just kept going more and more to the TV. We're on CNN. I'll never forget it. It's this month, probably this week, and she's like, we got to stop. This is insane. It's just OJ going down the fucking freeway in the Bronco. And everyone's like, don't do it, Jews, and all this shit. And then the people, this was L.A. when you get on the bridges and people holding signs. And each time it was getting farther and farther. And OJ's running. People are running out to see it. It was just mayhem. Well, after about an hour and change of watching this live chase live, we're eating fucking chips and guacamole. We went full in on this thing from development meeting to this. We started, woo, woo. She's like, oh, my God, it's coming here. And we fucking, because she lives in a certain neighborhood, and we heard the fucking sirens and the whole caravan come by. And we're like, this is fucking crazy. This is crazy. And she's like, I can't believe he's coming back to his house. And fucking sure enough, OJ and half the LAPD and the California CHPs, everywhere drove right by where we were and fucking went in, and OJ went and hugged his kid or, you know, forgot a fucking pair of shoes. I don't know. It came back out and they arrested him. It was that night. Where were you? I remember where I was. I was not far from that neighborhood watching it on TV, trying to get my presentation pilot made for MTV. Yes. That's just the beginning. So everything goes down and OJ becomes OJ, and that's the second part of his life. So I'm doing Scream 2, and You know, Kevin Williamson, obviously brilliant writer, writes so many things so well. You never really, he's one of the few people you really don't have to improvise with, because his stuff is just so, if something happens on page 3, it's going to tie together on page 89. Like, that's who he is. He's a true, true, amazing savant. And, you know, when I have these rants, I always make sure that I get in all of the facts and everything and the nuance and the times. But I'm like, always would tell Wes, I'm like, can I just try one? Just to see, so you have it. I'm a big believer of having it. And Wes was like, cool like that. He was like, yeah, he's like, yeah, if you want to try it, go for it. Like, he knew, like, I think working with us and later in life, and he came more chill. And I think that, I mean, maybe he always was, but I feel like he had all these young up and coming stars with him. And we were so vivacious to do these things. And Kevin was too, you know, but he was like doing a million things. And so, like, I would say, can I try this a different way? And he's like, go for it. He's like, I'll just run the camera and you can do your thing. So I'm doing my death scene before my death scene. And you want to be one of the big boys, huh? Manson, Bundy. And I think there's a third name. It was someone else. And I just went, OJ, because I knew that would get a laugh. It was hot. It was 4 years after all this shit, or 3 years. It was still in the zeitgeist. It was in the zeitgeist forever. And I thought, that'll be good. So I do it. They cut. Wes laughs. He's like, that's a good choice. That's a good, you know, whatever. So we end up, you know, when the movie comes out, that was an alternative take. And I was fucking, the man's Chinese, biggest premiere of my life up until that date. And it was just insane. And it says, Manson, Bundy, OJ, huge laughs at man's Chinese, over 1,000 people, all industry, everyone's there, half the cast of Friends. I think Christina Ricci was there. It's just a billion people were there, like every name, Quentin Tarantino, like it was just nuts. And I'm like, score, my dad. And then I got killed, and my dad goes, you did? And I go, yeah. And he goes, not coming back. And I go, no. He goes, I'm going to go have a cigarette. So literally, as soon as I die, my dad ran out to fucking smoke a fucking grit. And I just was sitting with my family. It was a beautiful moment of like, my mom was like, this is gory, but boy. And I just got mad reactions. People were discovering who Jamie Kennedy was, and I was discovering who he was. And I was like, this is a fucking moment. Get your fucking joke in. Learn what a joke is. Because I didn't know, but like being at the store and the improv and the ice house and going up there and improvising and seeing people when they fuck with the audience, that was a skill that I had learned from being on stage. And I'm like, try something in the moment. Robin Williams is always like, say it until the camera stops. They at least have it. So they kept it. It worked. It killed. It got a lot of love. Cut two, I'm, you know, popping around doing a billion things at this time. And someone said they went to Westwood and saw Scream 2 and OJ was there. Oh, I don't know if I can say this. I don't know if it's true, but they said he was there with his kids and the joke came on and the audience laughed and OJ was just like, and I mean, there's a lot to this. So it's like, I can't, you know what I can say. I can say a lot to it. But I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I feel bad for his kids, man. I feel so bad for his kids. I felt terrible for his kids. So part of me was like, OJ, do something horrific. These are the jokes. Jamie, you shouldn't have fucking did the joke because he's got kids. Now, quite frankly, I don't think his kids were old enough to go to Scream 2, so then I felt a little bit better. I'm like, he shouldn't have took his kids to Westwood anyway to see a horror slasher sequel. So I don't know if it's true. I was told that by somebody. And it was more like I felt bad for the kids, weirded out. Ugh, it's just so many mixed emotions with the whole thing, right? This is going to be longer than I thought. So whatever. That's it. It's done. I go on my life. Everyone goes on their life. Cut to, where were we? shaking his hand. Now, this is 20 years later. Now, I never met the dude. That's all my history that I, Jamie Kennedy, have had with OJ in my existence. I don't know what history he's had with me. So I shake his hand, and let me tell you, he does not break eye contact. He's like, nice to meet you, man. He's like, I'm a big fan. Big fan. Man, you are funny, man. I'll try to do the accent, but I have to work on it. It's a real mix between like Hertz, White, and a little Oakland. Like, people forget that OJ was gangster. He's from Oakland. I think he was raised by his grandmother. Like, that rage inside of him from his fucking intense childhood was running against the rage of Oakland, you know? So he's real. He could have been in the streets, but he was as tough as they come. And, you know, so that was, but he came off as, think, you know, this Mr. Clean, right? As everyone in LA thought, he was the cleanest guy. I'm like, does this guy know Scream 2? There's something else I'll tell you about this later. And I'm like, and he just shakes my hand, and I'll just never forget. The guy is as charming as Ryan Gosling. You know, I never met Gosling, but I'm assuming he's a charming guy. Just unbelievable charm. And I know I'm not supposed to say this, but it's the truth. Unbelievable. Lights up the room. Good looking guy, probably in his 70s at the time. Not a wrinkle on his...
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Skin. His hands are manicured. I don't know if that's a joke, but... And he just shakes my hand, and it's fucking firm. But not aggressive. Just like, this dude's got strength running through all of his veins. And I'm like, this dude ain't old at all. So I'm like, this is surreal, right? And my manager's like, oh, what's up, Juice? You know, whatever, because he was a mook. And the other chick's like, oh, yeah. And we all have wine. The guy comes who's throwing me in there, and he goes, okay, we're all going to Lowry's. Let's go get in the Hummer. So like, he had some big-ass Hummer. And we all go to Lowry. We made some small talk. And he was just telling me he liked my show, The Experiment. And what do? You're getting complimented by a legend, double homicide, or horrific murderer, but then who got off. But he also likes your show. And then you said joke about him in Scream 2. Like, these are all, think about all the touchstone moments again. You understand? Like, Scream 2 is its own animal. I improvised a joke about him. He looked bad in front of his kids. He liked my show. He has his own legend. There's dead bodies everywhere. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot going on. And I'm just fucking duckhorn. So we get to Lowry's, and fucking, if this guy's not a pimp, man, this fucking guy, the whole restaurant's cleared out, and he has a huge-ass table for us, and literally the whole staff is waiting for us. And we get there at like 11 o'clock. And I'm like, this dentist is about it, right? So I think we had, he had like a Jag. He had, it was like five cars that went, but I was, there's a big ass Hummer limo, I think. So, but he wasn't fake because everything he had was his shit. Like these people do this in Vegas and it's all rent to shit. Like, you know, like these influencers, if I can always get a chance to shit on an influencer, I will. But this guy was actually legit, but he was showy and he should be. Probably came from Bangladesh, you know, fucking shit in a hole. Now he's balling. He should enjoy it. So it made sense what I'd heard about OJ, that it tracks, that rich guys wanted to be cool. And so they're like, here's a celebrity, and OJ wanted money and golf, you know, and he wanted protection. So I think he would stay at this guy's house sometimes. He had a condo. He would stay, you know, where people would fucking let him live. So we go there and we're starting to eat. Fucking this guy's ordering everything under the sun. We're getting prime rib and truffle mash and button mushrooms and just every fucking thing. It was amazing. Like, it was just good. Lowry's in Vegas, wherever this Lowry's is. I've gone to Lowry's in DTLA a lot, you know, at least five times. Not a lot, but after Lakers, and you got competition. You got competition out here. So that's one of the reasons I want to move to Vegas, just for all the food. And as much as I'm into fucking going down the rabbit hole of truth and sports is a distraction, I sometimes need to be distracted. Sam Tripoli told me that. He's like, dude, sometimes you got to escape. But I even think sports are rigged. So a couple things happened during this dinner. I'll try to remember some things. But one of the things is we were talking and I'm loose now. You know, now I'm doing this weed deal. And the weed, one of the reasons I wanted to do this weed deal is because the weed concoction was so good that I would smoke this vape. I never vape, but I would take off a pen, and it was like a natural pen, and it was a pen, and it had no pesticides or anything. It was just like compressed like grapefruit extract or something, and like pure like THC or the blend. So they knew I'd be a paranoid person, so they put just enough CBD. Whatever it was, I would puff this pen once an hour, and I was like, just so like there wasn't a care in the world, but I was completely present. And I'm not a weed guy, and I'm like, if everyone could have this experience and there's no toxins or anything, I go, I think we can sell, you know, 10 million worth of these things. So I was like the guinea pig, you know. So this girl had this strain. The pen was my buddy, and we put it out there. And, you know, but so OJ's there. So I was like sucked on my pen because I had a long weekend. So I wanted to enjoy myself. I wanted to drink some Duckhorn. And you know, so I was a little loopy, but in a good way. I was feeling it. Old school J, like Miami Club J, or, you know, Vegas Victor Dre Nights J, you know, like fun times. And at some point we're talking about USC, and we were talking, and I'm here, I'm at the head of the fucking table because he invited me. So literally he is at one end and we had all our people, and I'm at the other, and get OJ's on the side. It wasn't his dinner. It was my dinner. So my $5,000 dinner became all these other people, right? So the guy gave me the head of the table. And I'm fucking feeling myself. So I say, blah, 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 blue. And I say, you know, it's just so fucked up. They took Reggie Bush's Heisman. I go, that's just bullshit. Because it was. And then I said, you know, and I think OJ said something like, oh, yeah. And I said, they banned him from the campus or something like that. It was somebody who did something. They couldn't go to the campus and was an athlete or something. And I'm like, well, this person did this and this person did this. And I go. And then I said, ban him from the campus. I said, the only person who got banned from the campus was you, like that. Right. And I'm like, and I'll dock court it. And he goes, it was like, he was like, yeah. And I was like, that's bullshit. And I go, the only person that ever got banned from the campus is you. And he goes, what? What? What do you mean banned from the campus? And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I stepped in some OJ. I'm like fucking six glasses deep. I'm my fucking amazing weed. And I'm like, I'm fucking at the head of the table. And my manager's looking at me. The weed chick's looking at me. The Indian guy, or I think he's Indian, is talking. I like Brussels sprouts. So he was in his own world. And I'm sitting there and I look at OJ and I go, he goes, why would I be banned from the campus? That's what he said. He said, why would I be banned from the campus? He literally said that to me. He literally said that to me in a Lowry's. I know. It's just incredible, right? It's one of the greatest stories you've ever heard. So I'm like, what happened? And he goes, What happened? And I don't know. He goes, yeah, what happened? What the fuck happened? And it got real serious. And I remember that shake of that hand. And this eye contact is not breaking. Now, he's three glasses deep. And I'm like, this could go fucking one of two ways. And both of them ain't going to be good for JK. So I'm sitting there. We're looking at each other. And he goes, what happened? And I go, well, there was a lot of controversy, you know, with the court case. And he's like, oh, yeah, fuck all that. He goes, yeah, I was never banned. I was a model student when I was at USC. I was never fucking banned. And I was like, okay. So I go, do you go to campus? I go to campus anytime I want. And I was like, okay, all right. I'm saying 60% of the table's looking, 40% is looking for truffle mash. At that point, a God bless her soul, some waitress comes over, some cute little thing. And she's like, another bottle of Camus? And she's like, pours, and I was like, yes! And so, like, she pours my shit, and I take a sip of it. And OJ all of a sudden goes, let me taste that. Let me taste that. Is that real Camus? And I said, oh, yeah, this is Camus. He goes, let me taste that. And he's looking, again, not breaking eye contact, and I got a big-ass pour. And I'm looking. I take a sip. No, he takes it. He takes the first sip, and he takes a really big sip. And he grabs it, he holds it, he goes, oh, that's good. That's good as shit. And he goes, try it. And I'm like, yeah, I had Camus before. And he goes, yeah, well, taste this bottle. You know, an aerated, or whatever that term is. And I'm looking at him, and he ain't letting me not fucking try it. He's not letting me fucking not try it. And I'm thinking, 8 years in prison. What has this man done? What has he seen? Do we share this glass right now? So I'm already at my dinner. I'm already have my history. I'm already saying that you were not allowed on campus because of something that he doesn't remember happening. And now he is mad dogging me with a bottle of Camus, a glass, and not letting me break away until I take a fucking sip. And I'm sitting there and I'm putting it up to my fucking lips. And I let the fucking, because I'm thinking like there was, you know, I'm thinking prison. What happens in prison? Like, is that fucking, is he tested? You know what I'm saying? What's floating around in his mouth that could be in there, right? I'm not saying anything, but you know what I'm saying? 8 years, you got needs. And I'm telling you, I put it up to my lips and I'm like, as long as he sees the coloring of that hitting my lips, he'll think I took a sip. So I let it, and as soon as the tiniest drop hits my lips, again, God comes into my life, and they go, juice! And, like, I turn, and there's these four stripper hookers. And OJ just goes, oh, shit, Vanessa! And turns, and I was like, eh. Wipe. I took a fucking, like, I said, well, give me a wipe. I had a wipe alcohol. Because I was like tripping on the germs, right? Fucking poured it out. Got a new glass. Boom. Boom. All of that anger, all of that shit was gone once these fucking four hoochies came out of the blue. OJ said, oh, I'm sorry, my man, Vinish, or whatever. I don't know what the guy's name was. He's like, I had a couple friends. I told him, come up. So he told these four chicks to come to fucking dinner, and you know, they're fucking, you know, chicks that like a meal. You know the types. So the next thing I know, our party of eight becomes a party of 12. Lowry's just a little annoyed, but this guy's just fucking a plutonium card. He's not even a platinum. He's got American Express plutonium. It's like one of three cards. The guy's bawling beyond. Maybach. I think he had took a Maybach. We took the Hummer. Whatever. Everybody's eating. Everybody's laughing. I'm fucking now in this mellow spot. OJ's two glasses in. UFC fighter guy's happy. I'm figuring out the strain of weed. My manager's wasted talking to one of these strippers. Dentist is happy. He's like, I bring people together. Everybody have a good time. Everybody's happy. And we're like, yeah, Vavi. She's like, I like to be happy. And so we're all there. And one thing happens. So as you know, strippers, not all strippers, and hookers think they're funnier than they are. It was a universal thing to know that hooks and strips, I'm not saying professional hooks, but girls that are hookers that don't admit it, and strippers, you know, with bolt-ons and ejections and stuff, are generally more entitled. They come across, they're very entitled, highly confident, masking an insecure center, and they go after what they perceive as the weakest person in the table group. And as you know, the dumbest of this group is usually the people, for some reason, these people and other people like them, what we call outrageously big mouth people, usually think it's the comedians that are the ones that you can try to pick on because A, it's what they do. B, they're supposed to be funny. C, they're being funny, so you can't, like, be funny with me. And D, they want to impress you. So it's like a kind of nagging, trying to cuck, trying to impress. It's a very complicated, you know, shepherd's pie of emotions and intrigue. So long story boring is the head hook starts fucking with me. And when, you know, one of the reasons I stopped drinking is because I'm more blunt than I am now. Like, really blunt. And I get some fucking, besides the fact that I get puffy, I get some fucking anger. You know, if you think I'm angry now, you should see me on a bottle of fucking Cuervo. So she says something to me and she laughs. She's one of the people that, isn't that right, funny guy? And like two hookers like, hey, 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 and everyone's like kind of laughing along. And OJ's smiling because, you know, he wants to fucking get that fucking good, good, right? So she said something else. And I was like, and then I buck back and I'm like, is this Summerlin's Got Talent or something? Like one of the jokes I say now. And I'm like, it's a no from me or something like that. And the table starts laughing because she's trying to be funny. So she gets burned and she's like, oh, yeah, you think you're so fucking. And she said something else and something about her two kids. And this is over like a 10-minute period, but it was the lead hook. There was another sweet hook, another quiet hook, and another hungry hook. So it was really the lead drunk hook. And she had a compadre, and the other two were just like there for the fucking mashed potatoes. So, and she was like the top dog, and she wanted to show everybody that she was friends with the Juice, and she wanted to take down Jamie Kennedy. And she was like, she said something like, you know, yeah, because fucking, didn't Ashton Kutcher already do your show? Something just negative, low vibration, whatever. Something, and she said, yeah. And something happened. She said something, and I was like, she said something about, like, she was like, and I'm like, I kind of know things because I've traveled the world, you know, or something like that. I was trying to be polite, and she's like, I know things because I'm a mother. And I go, you're a mother? I go, how many kids? She goes, two. And I go, two? And she's like, I'm like, who's watching them? And she's like, my mother. She was getting, like, more angry. I'm like, okay, so. All right, so you let your kids go as you went to Lowry's at midnight on a Wednesday, something else. And then I said, well, you know, let's hope. I said something. I don't know how to fucking joke, but I said something like, let's hope your kids are good at math. She was like, yeah, what about it? So it was like edging up. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, let's hope your kids are good at math, because we all know mommy likes to count her numbers at the end of the night or something like that. And she was like, what? And she's like, fuck you. And she fucking just, it was a rage. And she went nuts. And she's like, yeah, motherfucker. I go, you're a dead, like, because she was fucking with mom. I'm like, you're a deadbeat mom. I'll call CPS on your fucking ass, you dirty rat. Like, she's like, fuck you. I go, your kids are mine. Like, I went in because she was just fucking with me. I go, I will call protective services right now, you dirty. I'll call my buddy at the Spearmint. Your shit will be thrown out. You'll never work at Spearmint 1, 2, or 7 again. Like, I went in, right? No, just like, oh, fuck. And, like, he's like, you fucking up my shit. Because he wanted to get some pussy. And fucking this girl went bananas and started screaming, tried to jump over the table. Fuck you, Kennedy. Because she just fucked with me. And so what do comedians do? Poke, poke, poke. And then, okay, the slightest thing, we go right to your humanity and we just fucking take your little heart and hold it so you can't breathe for a minute. You know, this is light work for us. Okay. So she's losing her mind. The staff of the Valerie's is calming her down. She's throwing bread. I'm like, back the fuck up, bitch. That's assault. Like, all of this shit. Going crazy. Screaming. This was hilarious. Oh, jeez. Like, oh, man. Fuck. Fuck. And the guy's like, what is going on? We are having fun. What happened to the fun? And she fucking is throwing shit. Her friend's like, let's go, Vanessa. And she's like, fuck you. I'm a good mother. I'm a good mother. I'm so good. And she's like, and the fucking, they just kept pulling her. And she's like, fuck it. She screamed, trying to get security's pulling her back. My guy's like, we got to go. And OJ goes, I got to get the fuck out of here. Now, remember, he's fresh out the joint. We go. Her friends are putting her in the car to drive her. We're now all outside. The guy goes, take my plutonium. Takes the card. We're all outside. OJ is literally hiding in the parking lot. He's scared someone has a camera or something. He's like, man, this is fucked up. I thought I was going to hang with her. And she's screaming, fuck you. And I go, calm the fuck down. I go, protective services. I go, fucking wait till your fucking car. Something. I said, whatever. I said, this is great. This is great. What, I'm going to film this and send it to the PTA board. Like, I was just ruining this because she was just too much. You know those Vegas bitches with terrible tattoos and just too tough and they've been through too much and it's like, you're not a tender person anymore. And they come at you and you're like, please, I'm giving you a warning. Stop doing it. And you're like, I'm giving you a warning. And then they just go in on you for nothing. And it's not even good or creative. And you just, I mean, this is what we do. I just did 10 shows of this. It's like, I take down all walks of life when they attack me, not on purpose. You don't think I can take down a stripper from the suburbs of the 702 that's not even from there? It's probably from fucking Poughkeepsie. Like, so anyway, OJ is hiding behind the car. This girl's throwing things. He's hiding behind the car. I'm down by the car. And my UFC security guard is by the car. And he goes, OJ, do you think I get a picture? And fucking OJ, he's like, this guy had a camera. This was like 2017, man. And a fucking thing was there. And OJ's like, no, man, this ain't a good time. Like, OJ looked, took a second, like, no, man, I gotta fucking go. Some dude that was there, another one of the guy's friends, had like a fucking Bentley. OJ got in, crawled in. Bitch didn't see him. He bounced. Dentist bounced. The two girls bounced. And the other girl was just there screaming with me and my manager and the girl. And she's like, where the fuck is OJ? He's gonna kick your fucking ass. I'm like, oh, he's somewhere. I think he's in the bathroom, or I think he's having the lemon tart dessert. You should go in there. And she's like, hey, I'm a good mother. I'm a good mother. I'm like, on display right now. And she's just a mess. And some girl's like, you know, you don't have to go that hard on her. I go, the bitch ruined me, was bothering me since my fucking app. All right? No, fuck that bitch. Fucking let her fucking rot. And then they push her in the car. They drive off. And it's me, my manager, my wee guy, and UFC guy. And UFC guy's like, damn, I almost had a picture. Like, he was so bummed. And I just looked, and I was like, did that just all just happen? And they're like, yep. And I go,
And my manager, of course, being scumbag that he is, he goes, but I got the envelope. And the guy gave him $5,000. I guess he's running out, threw him the fucking envelope. And he's like, let's count this shit. Then we went to like Caesar's, smoked cigars, busted another bottle, and just talked about this shit till like 4 a.m. It was so surreal. And I'm me, whatever you think I am, and I've had a lot of crazy experiences. I could tell you a ton, but that was a top surreal experience. And it was just so wild. And then as this was going on, one of the reasons that was so bizarre is I had a script that was given to me by a director, and now these theories are coming in. So remember when OJ was not convicted, okay, like just think of all the things that came out of it. Johnny Cochran, who died, F. Lee Bailey, who died, he was older, Kardashian died, the Kardashians, that was the most famous of the Kardashians, Robert Kardashian. And then let's go back how everything's connected. Lisa Berger was the head of E! And she had things happening. I worked at E! Since MTV. I used to go on these travel shows. And Brooke Burke was the face of E! And they would have comedians go to different places. And I did one. And then I did a movie with Bruce Jenner before he became Caitlyn. And I grilled him all morning about how it happened. And he told me, like, storyline. I'm trying to do his voice. He goes, I'll tell you, we had a ton of storylines. That's what it was. There was a lot of people. I can't really do his voice. I do too many voices right now. But he, when he was a he, now he's a she, and I'm so okay to say that, told me that when they did the pilot, that Lisa Berger, who I told you this beginning of the story with, said, I know who you are, but who are the rest of these people? And he's like, and she's like, you're the Olympic champion. Who are these people? And she's like, he's like, it's a wild, wacky family. We're going to, I have to work on that. I have to listen to his voice once, or her voice. I apologize. And what we're going to do is it's like a sitcom of wildness. And it's absolutely wild. And the series was greenlit on Bruce and his history of being the champion that he was and marrying Robert Kardashian's ex, and the wild, wacky, blended family that they had. Or, you know, the adventures of that. It was like a live-action sitcom. And it was one episode, and then they said, okay, we'll do four. It was like a tester, and it just got good. And then they gave them, then they did seven. And the reruns, like, everything happens, and reruns happened, and it just kicked in at the right time. And he was like, and then it was off to the races, and it was after that, it was gone, and we just went crazy. And he was like, character, storyline. So he just kept telling me that day that if you're going to ever do a reality show, have a lot of different characters, so storylines will keep going. And so at that time, I was doing a movie. He told me that, who's now a she, the first executive ever give me a break was the person that greenlit it. The guy who passed away was now one of the famous most persons, father of the world. And then OJ was part of it because of his history, and somebody came into my office, this director, and he has a script to this day about Nicole and OJ, and OJ got off legally, but in the court of public opinion, he was guilty, and this guy has a script stating that OJ didn't do it, and that he took the fall for his son. This is a whole other theory that is going around TikTok. Now, I've known about this theory for about, you know, 10 years because that's when I started seeing the script. It's a fascinating take. Obviously, not a very popular take. And at the time, since then, I had done a benefit for the Goldmans. And they were the sweetest people. And to this day, I would do multiple benefits for the Goldmans. I don't know them that well, but they were very nice to me. And they had a horrifically tragic thing happen to them. And I want to send them nothing but love and respect. And I did some charity for them and as a stand-up. And it was one of the nicest nights. And they were such a sweet people. And you know, OJ's children, I wish them nothing but love and respect. I just saw so much going on, right? Like, it's so wild. So all of that was tied in. And now OJ has passed away, and, you know, he was as healthy as a fucking horse when I saw the dude. Plus, I also know another guy that's in the collectibles game, and he was there that night when OJ was trying to sell his stuff, and I know that guy. That's a whole, so I know a lot of Jason around it. Plus, there's a comedian whose mother put OJ away, who I also know. It's wild. I'm not here to say what's honest, what isn't. I have no idea. I have my own beliefs. Obviously, everyone, we all do. But I will say, you know, when OJ died, that narrative started picking up. And my ex-girlfriend, a few girlfriends ago, was friendly with Faye. So I had learned some stuff about Mezzaluna. And I just want to say that OJ was fit when I saw him. He was strong. He seemed agile. He hit a golf ball forever. I didn't play golf with him, but I know people that told me he could. And he went out. So to me, that was the vax. That's how you're going to end this whole story on the vax. But yeah, that's a crazy story. And since then, I've become friendly with Cato, who I think is a really nice guy. You know, I should have him on the pod. It's wild. But, you know, we all have an idea of what the truth is. It's not for me to say it. I'm just telling you my personal opinion with the guy. And I've had, it was a multi-layered thing. It was wild, wild. But, you know, I can't control these stories when I go on other people's podcasts and they interrupt me and they fuck up. So it's like, this is my story that I want to tell on my podcast. And if anyone wants to ask me about it, they can get it from here and then I can tell. But this is all the details that I have, and I wish nothing but best for the Goldmans. I wish nothing best for OJ's kids. You know, God rest the souls of, you know, Nicole and Ron and everyone else that was murdered. It's a fucking wow, fucking crazy situation. What is the truth? You know, God rest Robert Kardashian. So think of all the people that are connected. I don't even know what else to say. It's just so wild. And then Kim was Paris's assistant. It's just so connected. But this is my story and the way I want to tell it because, A, I think it's really interesting. I know when things happen to me when they're interesting. And I go, this is fucking fascinating. And I know that he just, you know, he passed a couple months ago, but I wanted to do it then. I just didn't have the time. So this is what I want to do. I want to tell my stories here and then we'll go from there. Peace.